5:02 p.m. in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday. Shit, I don't cap. It is also a Lakers celebration Tuesday. We will get back to the genius that is George Sedano and that Lakers breakdown in a moment. But first, it is time for What You Need to Know.
Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Christopher.
No, come on.
So wacky.
You are wacky.
So wacky.
By the way, side note very quickly, the Philadelphia 76ers are up 12 points here in the second quarter, 38-26 in Boston.
Let's go, Philly. I'm rooting for Philly.
Wow. And they just stole the ball again. Oh, my goodness. This is not going Boston's way. That's, I'm sure people here love that. 40-26. Timeout, Boston. You gutless, Boston.
I just yawned on camera. I'm sure all the YouTubers are like, oh, my God. You're gutless.
You are gutless.
All right, go ahead.
And exhausted.
Take it away, Lindsay.
All right, guys. So this, What You Need to Know, comes from Dodgers reporter Bill Plunkett.
From Mason and Ireland fame.
Who posted this tweet that I found very interesting. Okay, so it says, Dodgers are staying at the legendary Haunted Feister Hotel.
Fister
Hotel in Milwaukee, but Feister. Not Mookie Betts. He rented an Airbnb for some friends and is staying there just in case the stories about ghosts are true. He said he doesn't really believe in ghosts, but doesn't want to find out he's wrong. Now, he stayed there before in the past, but I guess...
A lot of people are freaked out by that hotel.
Yeah, he said he can't sleep.
I have never stayed there. I've met someone for drinks there, but I've never stayed there. But even non-players have told me stories about that place. People like who only go there every once in a while for like covering a game or whatever... I've heard a lot of crazy stories about that place.
Never been, but I will just say this. I don't even want to tempt fate. You know, like if you tell me this place is haunted, yeah. I will sleep at night. I'll just be waiting for something, like some ghost to move something, and then I'll hear it. I'll go, oh, that was it.
That's exactly what Mookie Betts said.
Richard Jefferson told me a story. This is actually a funny Pfister story, where the haunted hotel in Milwaukee, where he knew who was staying in the room next to him. And, it, you know, sometimes the rooms have, like, the adjoining doors. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they're locked on both sides because they're different people in the different rooms. And he knew some of our colleagues were on the other side. And, like, he started banging on the door. Help me! Help me! And the women were in the other room were freaking out. And they were screaming, oh, my God! What's happening? Can we help? Oh, pick up the phone! And then he like ran out of the room, banged on their front door. They opened the door and they saw him just laughing his ass off. It was pretty funny.
How was that? Was that a master class in horror films?
I thought it was pretty good. It was good passion. But sometimes Sedano's best at hoop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not bits.
It was kind of wacky.
It was wacky.
All right. That is What You Need to Know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So everyone discounted the bubble championship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Oh, Mickey Mouse ring. We didn't win in front of fans and blah, blah, blah. And that wasn't a real finals. Nobody cared. Blah, blah, blah. You played on video against video boards.
A lot of blah, blah, blahs in there, too. I mean, you kind of went from like complaint to blah, blah, blah as if to indicate there were more complaints.
There's more complaints.
Then you came back to another actual English complaint.
Right.
And then went more blah, blah, blah.
Right. Three blah, blah, blahs.
Did you write that down in your notes, Cap?
No.
Text it to yourself.
I texted it to myself.
Yeah, there you go.
No, sir.
So the fascinating part of all of this is for all the discounting of the bubble that was done, the teams right now that have a stranglehold on their series are the two teams that were in the NBA Finals in the bubble. And if you really look at it, okay... The teams, the other two Final Four teams in Denver and Boston, are both in this round of the playoffs, and both are favored to win their series still at this point. So it's funny. Remember, everyone discounted the bubble. Oh, that wasn't real basketball. Even though I think it was the most purest form of basketball. Like those guys were. I don't think we've ever seen guys play at that kind of level. If we're just talking about the way they played basketball. Guys were shooting out of their mind. It was only basketball they were focused on. There was no outside distractions. It was literally them away from the world. So then...
Yeah. I'm trying to get to where you're going here. So wait, so what are you saying? You're saying that the Heat and the Lakers, who played in Orlando's COVID bubble...
Yes.
Those two teams played for the championship that year.
Right. They both have strangleholds on their series at the moment.
Right. They're both alive. They're both up 3-1 in their respective series, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And?
Is that all you wanted to do?
No, yeah, I just want to clarify.
Okay.
So, and?
Okay. But then what happened was everyone made fun of the bubble. Everyone said it wasn't real basketball. And then the next year, everybody broke down. The Lakers broke down. Denver had injuries. Jamal Murray busted his knee. Just came back this year. The Heat broke down that year. Boston broke down that year. And they weren't able to advance because the season started quickly. Nobody was ready for the season. The season went too late for those teams while everybody else was back home already out of the bubble. And what happened? Phoenix went there, kind of an outlier team, right? That no one really expected because they didn't even make the playoffs the year before. Got to the finals in an injury-riddled Western Conference. And the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis finally ascended through the East despite multiple disappointments already. And they finally got them that championship after 50 years. But they did it in front of no fans in an injury-riddled league with the top four teams from the previous year all completely disheveled due to injuries and not advancing in the playoffs. So which year now should be the one that we discount? 2020 or 2021?
Well,
because I'd make the case it's 2021, not 2020.
All right, I got to tell you something, okay? Listen to me. You just put me in a trance, okay? Anybody who was watching the YouTube show saw me go into a trance. We were talking about the haunted hotel.
Yeah.
You just put me in a trance. But you see, the thing was, I was listening very intently.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying to us is this. The teams that were the most successful in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
the Lakers who won,
mm-hmm.
the Heat who played in the championship.
Denver
and Boston, who were both in the semifinals.
The final four, yeah.
Okay, those final four teams in 2020 in the bubble were the last four standing.
Right.
The following year, 2021.
Ravaged by injuries, all of them.
All four teams injured.
Right.
Played longer, played later.
Right.
Season started early because there was the whole delay during COVID, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Then the following year, as all four of those teams were injured, other teams stepped up. You mentioned Phoenix and obviously Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here we are back today with those same four teams all still alive.
Right.
And the two championship contenders, both with, to use your words, strangleholds on their series.
Right.
Do you understand how intently I just listened to you?
I did, yes.
I was in a trance.
Were you able to draw anything from that?
Yes, because I didn't know where you were going. In other words, to me, if you say to me right now, are the bubble teams, the Heat and the Lakers, on a collision course, and is there some irony that they're both alive and headed towards a potential rematch?
They were ridiculed. Those teams got through what I think is the toughest season in NBA history, and got their reward for that was ridicule. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
But what you're saying is that the following year,
is that
they were all hurt.
And the other teams lucked out.
And
yet we do not look back at 2021 with ridicule when it should have been, oh, dude, if anything, that championship was more cheapened, right? Not that I think any championship is cheapened, but if we're going to do this on a sliding scale, the 2020 championship, way harder than the 2021 championship because you're still sleeping in your own beds, okay, in 2021. There's no fans in the stands. You're just playing hoops in an empty arena for the most part with broadcast people there. So, and all the injuries mounted up. To me, if I'm going to look at a season that we look back and say, yeah, that one wasn't equal to the others, it's 2021. It's not 2020.
Are you saying, though, that you don't think it's just a pure coincidence that Miami and the Lakers have a convincing lead in their respective series right now? Is that not just coincidence? Or what you're saying is that they played late, came back the next year early, got hurt, and it's taken this amount of time, two seasons later, to recover? To get back to where they were? Even as an eight seed and a seven seed?
No. What I'm saying is this. The Lakers last year made a miscalculation. But generally speaking, what I'm saying is this. I literally just laid it out for you. People openly mock the Lakers championship in 2020. They openly mock the bubble experience, period, and whoever went far. And in 2021, we're here propping up Phoenix and Milwaukee like they're these juggernauts, and maybe they're not.
Phoenix, well, they're not.
Milwaukee just got bounced in the first round
by an eight seed,
right? And Milwaukee got bounced in the bubble by the same team, which was a fifth seed at the mm-hmm. time. So it's like, maybe we should look at teams with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it, and a team like Miami with a stable culture like they have, Denver was a good collection of talent, a two-time MVP who we saw subsequently after that.
And a player who you mentioned who just came back from injury from that time.
And Boston, who has had sustained success for a while, although they haven't broken through for a championship, and say, oh yeah, those teams were worthy to be there. That season isn't a fraud season. The 2021 season is the fraudulent season. Nothing to do with now. Those two.
Yeah, so I really don't look at the bubble season as a fraudulent season.
But most people do, and they ridicule the Lakers for winning. Dude, there was a Laker fan in a Kobe jersey telling LeBron to get a real championship, that he was saying that the one he won wasn't real.
Yeah, I understand there's a lot of people that discount it. I'm not with like you, where you think it was like the hardest one ever to win and it was the purest form. I'm just saying this, whether it was the 2020 bubble championship or if it was 2021 and you're making a very compelling case that a lot of good teams and a lot of good players were hurt, and you could actually maybe even look at why they were hurt based on how long they played, how much they played, and how early they started the next season. You're making a very compelling case. I get it. But I wouldn't even discount the 21 championship, and here's why.
Because would or would not?
Would not.
Why?
Because teams get hurt, players get hurt, teams get hot. I'm not taking anything away from Giannis and Milwaukee. It's just that that was a good year for them, that other teams got hurt, got injured.
All I'm saying
played
is
later.
Plenty of people, including people in our industry, have discounted LeBron and the Lakers and any of those teams that went deep in the bubble. And yes, the bubble was harder. It was harder than that next year.
Well, why don't you just tell all these people that discount this championship
to go to hell?
Tell the guy wearing the Kobe jersey who's yelling at LeBron to get a real championship.
Right.
Tell him to go to hell.
I just did.
I mean, let them know. If you don't believe in the bubble championship year in Orlando,
go to hell.
If you think that the 2021 championship is legit.
No, I didn't say it's not legit.
Well, I was just trying to exaggerate.
I just think that's what you do. This is where you take things too far.
Right.
But you were following me intently, but did not follow the point.
Well,
you,
I was trying to
correlate it to today, but it wasn't
drama,
about today.
You know?
It's just those. I'm talking about that. People discount the Lakers championship, including some damn Laker fans. And what I'm saying is, don't discount it. Because clearly, they shouldn't be discounted if the roster is built right. They shouldn't be discounted for having played in an environment that was isolated. That's tougher to me, man, than sleeping in your own bed and playing in an empty arena. That's tougher. You're away from your family for months at a time. That can't be easy for everyone. The Clippers freaking quit in the bubble. Literally. Quit. Got their coach fired.
I know, but they were also out in the first round this year. What's the correlation?
There's no correlation to this year. God, I hate you.
Royce Tony's going to be so happy because I'm just going to keep poking at you today because that's some real hardcore basketball nerd stuff,
no,
but
not
I buy
that
it.
Really hardcore.
No, but I buy it. You actually, stuff. I'm telling you right now, you're making a compelling case. I understand what you're saying. I would never think of it in those terms, but I hear you and I tend to agree with a lot of what you're saying. I'm just not taking anything away from anybody who wins any championship because injuries happen along the way.
Coming up next, Cappy had some press room interactions beyond this Woj thing.
But wait until I tell you what Rachel Nichols said to me about you.
Okay, I can't wait to hear. And Steve Kerr complaining about the officials, telling the Lakers that they were floppers. We'll hear it from the coach himself next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Damn, Mario just went at you, dog.
Mario did.
Just went at you, the great Mario Ruiz.
Mario, of course, we got LAFC on 11:10 tonight, and the ESPN LAF coverage starts at 7 p.m. Tonight's the U.S. Open Cup, not the CONCACAF Cup.
CONCACAF Cup.
What is it?
CONCACAF.
CONCACAF.
CONCACAF Cup.
You gutless, Cappy.
Gutless.
It's a live imaging Tuesday with shit out of a cap. Also, a Lakers celebration Tuesday, thanks to Michelob Ultra, and it's Billy Joel's birthday.
Happy birthday, Billy Joel. How many straight concerts are you going to perform?
How many what concerts?
He has like the record, right, for performing like 30 straight nights.
Cappy was trying to take you somewhere else.
No, I didn't really understand the word he said before.
Said straight.
Yeah.
Like the Cal Ripken record.
How many straight concerts has he done?
Yeah, I didn't hear the word straight. I couldn't get that.
Oh.
CONCACAF Cup. Billy Joel turned 74 today.
He did 30 nights? Where? He did like Madison Square Garden or something? Yeah. Really?
LAFC's bat. No, you do it.
Well, Mario was just in here.
Do it.
And he looked at me and he's like, hey, Cappy, are you just a soccer dad or did you actually play the game? And I looked at him and I said, what do you think?
Sucker.
Check me out. What do you think?
You're a soccer dad.
Yeah, probably, pretty much. That's
but
it.
You could have played soccer. You were a kicker.
That's right.
Kicker. As a soccer dad, are you responsible for like having the Capri Suns ready and all those things?
Oh, the snack box is big, man.
I went from being the dad who was in charge of the Capri Suns to later on, I was the dad mixing up the protein shakes in the parking lot.
Now they
the
do
games.
Protein shakes, no more Capri Suns?
No. It got competitive. It got for reals, you know? So I was mixing up those protein shakes. I was using the Theragun on the girls, you know what I mean? Like, they'd come up to me after the game. They'd be like, hey, can you, like, Theragun me?
Okay.
And I would do that.
That's very helpful.
Because I would stretch them.
Yeah.
I was a real contributor.
You never offered to stretch me. Although you did do the thing, that'll play at the Mandy's when you were massaging me.
When I cracked your neck?
Cracked my neck, trying to get the knot out.
That will be in the Mandy's?
Oh, I guarantee you, when you yell out, what did you say? I forgot now. I have to go to the clip.
I don't know. The other day, though, I said something so dumb on the air that I didn't realize how dumb it was when
just
I said it.
Just the other
day? Yeah, it was just a couple days ago.
Oh, you said you're mounting me.
No, I mounted you that day. That's true. I did mount you. but the other day, on Friday, when we were out at Solita down in Orange County, and George gets guacamole on his computer. I'm like, I didn't even see anything with guacamole. And this all played out on a promo. And you're like, anybody got a wipey or something? I'm like, yo, you want me to spit on it? Like, and I don't know why. Like, I didn't even think about it at the time. But then I hear Morales in the promo. And I'm like, that was pretty damn funny. Unintentionally.
Yeah, Sedano, are you ready to do Masterclass NBA?
No, we got to find out. I want you to be in here because apparently Cappy had a thing with Rachel Nichols yesterday.
Oh,
you guys got to hear this, you know. So I'm like one of these guys. I don't really
hit. You were in schmooze mode yesterday.
Well,
apparently.
I didn't like the fact that Ramona told everybody that I was a turtler. Yeah. You know?
So you wanted to get out of your shell?
Right. I wanted to unturtle, if you know what I'm saying.
So
I'll tell you, the first guy I ran into last night before the game is this coach, Dave Miller.
Oh, yeah. He just texted me a little while
ago. What's his story?
Oh, you too. He texted you
too. What's that guy's deal?
He's a former coach.
And he was on the Lakers. How did he get your number?
He was on the Lakers broadcast for a little while on Spectrum.
How did he get my number?
Yeah.
Good guy, dude.
Last night, we're standing there talking, and he sees me, and he says, hey, I got to talk to you, pal. Right? And he grabs me.
I love his energy. He's got energy, right? Like you feel like a coach is telling you better listen to what he's saying.
And so he grabbed me and he told me, hey, Cap, listen, I know the guys on the station don't want to hear this, but I'm just telling you, this is Dave Miller talking, not me.
Yeah.
He says, I'm telling you as a basketball coach, when I hear you talk basketball on the radio, you are far and away the smartest basketball guy.
He said that to you.
Everybody at 7:10. Correct.
All right.
That's right. Then
I'm sure that's what he said.
That is precisely what he said. Yeah. Then Ramona Shelburne says to me, because she loves doing this.
She wants to introduce you. She's like a mom.
She is so proud of me.
Yeah.
You know? She like wants to show me off like I'm this shiny new
toy. It's like she's the Jewish mom and you're the Jewish son.
Right. She's like, come
in. At the bar mitzvah.
Right, let me introduce you to the bar mitzvah boy, right?
Yeah.
So she goes, there's Woj. So she goes running towards Woj. She's like grabbing my hand, yanking me through the freaking thing, right?
Speed up the Woj story because we've already heard it
Long
once.
Long story short I stand there with Woj. I got nothing to talk to Woj about.
Nothing.
I got no reason to be there with Woj.
None.
Right? So then, at the end of it all, Yeah. I'm standing there at this table, and I'm not comfortable. I don't want to talk to Woj. I don't need to talk
to
Coach.
Is this after I saw you in the media
room? Yeah, then you introduced me to this guy, Bill somebody.
Bill Ryder, who's one of Greg's guys. I used to work with him.
Bill Ryder's a good guy.
Actually, Bill Ryder.
Did I work with him? I didn't work with him, but he covered LeBron when he left Cleveland, so I met him back then, back when.
So he introduced me to this Bill Ryder
guy. I mean,
Ryder
could be a big piece of a puzzle one day. You never know.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, man. So I do what I always do. Hey, man, good to see you, bro. How you been, man? Right. Good to see you. You know, like I act like we're buddies.
Right. So,
like
old buddies. Speed it up.
The Sedano and Ryder show.
Get to the point, Cappy.
But I feel more comfortable hanging out with the chef who happened to be slicing the tri-tip very thin with that really nice chimichurri sauce.
Did you have some of the cake that was there the Lakers had for us?
No cake.
Okay.
Just tri-tip. Okay. Me and the chef talked it out a little bit. We've already made
Cappy's
our game plan.
Cappy's not big on the cake.
No. Aerosmith, me and the chef are going to Aerosmith together on December 7th down at the Forum.
Will he have the chimichurri sauce?
He probably will.
Okay.
Then I see Rachel Nichols.
Yes. This is in the media room.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you guys right now, I don't know Rachel Nichols.
Right.
I know who she is.
Right.
I've seen her on TV all
these
years.
Does she know who you are?
She don't know who I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm nobody. So she looks at me. I look at her. She kind of makes a nod. I kind of make a nod. And she goes, I see you everywhere. And I say, I see you around too. Right? Uh-huh. So she puts out her hand and she goes, I'm Rachel. And I said, I'm Scott. And she said, so like, what's your deal? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm part of Sedano and Cap.
Were you stumbling around like this? Talking
just like this?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm a little nervous now. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm talking to Rachel Nichols.
She gave you a Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, what's your deal?
Yeah, like kind of what's your story, pal?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I tell her, I go, I don't know if you listen to the radio. And she goes, oh, you're Cap from Sedano and Cap. She goes, okay, yeah. As a matter of fact, I listen every day. I'm like, well, yeah, everybody does. Like, I get it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then she says to me, I'm the number one fan in the George Sedano fan club. And the way she said it, she walked away from me. It was dramatic. It was slow motion. She was like, we shook hands. We said hello. We said some pleasantries, et cetera, et cetera. I told her who I was, like why I was around all the time. And she goes, I'm the number one fan. She's walking away. I'm the number one fan of the George Sedano fan club. And she's walking away as she's telling me this, like as if to say, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you on the radio. All right, tough guy. I don't need anything to do with you. But I'm the number one fan of George Sedano.
As she's like,
club.
This is my time to get away now.
Right.
Yeah. I know who you are now.
That's exactly what happened.
I would not be on television in the NBA if it wasn't for Rachel Nichols. So
why would she do?
She put me on her show.
Oh.
So she gave me an opportunity to become the NBA insider that I am. Without her, it never happens.
Wow. Well, she's the number one fan of my man Sedano.
I am the number one fan of Rachel Nichols back. She knows that.
All right.
So I've always told her I've got her back.
I'm glad that we could find another Rachel that doesn't truly like you.
I mean, did she really say, like, I see you everywhere? Because, like, where are you, Cap? Where else are you?
Well, if you follow our social media, you do see a lot of Cap.
Yeah, but that's just social media. The way he said it, it made it seem like he's everywhere, as in, like, you know, all over L.A.
Well,
like, there's billboards.
Well, especially in that arena.
Well, the other part of it is that the truth of the matter is, baseball, is that me and Rachel Nichols, we only see each other at Laker games.
Yeah.
But lately, we've not had any real interaction, but there's been a lot of nonverbal communication between she and I.
Right.
Just with the eyes.
So it finally happened. The communication actually happened.
So finally, there was a touch of hands.
Yeah.
There was eye contact.
Yes.
There was introductions.
Yes.
And then there was an escape.
Yeah.
She freaking bailed on me.
Yeah, she's like, I'm out of here.
I'm the number one George Sedano fan.
I actually saw her after the game in the tunnel and, you know, said hello. We chit-chatted for a while because we're good like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did she mention seeing Cappy?
She's my homegirl. She did not bring that up.
Really?
She didn't.
Don't you find that odd?
I swear to God.
You should FaceTime her.
That is not even a bit. Like,
FaceTime
her. She did not. I'm not going to FaceTime
her. Like, normal conversation would be, oh, yeah, I ran into your partner earlier.
Right.
Scott, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, Cappy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Cappy.
Right.
But she didn't.
No, she ran. When this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
When Rachel Nichols.
She basically just implied to you, because she's the number one fan in the George Sedano fan club, that she will shiv you for me if you mess around.
Make no mistake.
Yeah.
What Rachel Nichols was saying was, first, before she knew who I was, which again, I'm nobody, but before she knew my name, she was like, this guy looks like he's pretty hot. Like, she was checking me out, right? Then, once I told her who I was, I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm Sedano's on-air partner, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm out of here. you know, clearly wanted nothing to do with me. Prior to knowing who I was, probably was into me. Once she found out who I was, wanted nothing to do with me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like into me. Like, hey, this is a nice looking guy. Let's say hello. What's your deal?
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Well, she said, I've been seeing you around, like, everywhere. So, clearly she's seen
I've seen you around. What's your deal?
Right.
Okay.
It's kind of the way, exactly the way it was said.
Okay.
Maybe she was being nice.
Maybe she was being nice.
Yeah. Maybe.
She seemed nice.
She's very
nice. You are really a piece of work. You know that?
Why is that?
That's what I was thinking.
Honestly?
What?
What you just said earlier.
What'd I say?
You're basically saying that Rachel Nichols was hitting on you.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying she was checking me out.
That is exactly what you're saying.
No, she's looking me up and down. She's like, who is this guy?
You mean in like a condescending way?
No, I mean like I'm looking at this guy. Like, who is this guy? Like,
she's sizing you up?
Right, sizing me up.
Not checking you out, sizing you up.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah.
It is different, but I don't think he thinks that. I think he really thinks she was checking him out.
No, I don't believe you think that.
Why not?
Down.
See, he does.
Why? Because you got the Ken Caminiti goatee on?
I don't know. Last night I think I had a little bit of a look.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
I wearing my white Air Force Ones with some jeans and an untucked shirt and a sport jacket. And look at the goat.
Yeah.
Look at the goatee.
All right.
By the way, get this real quick.
Yeah.
Just because you mentioned the sports coat and everything.
Uh-huh.
I ran upstairs to get my stuff, and he said, oh, I have the car pulled up for you when you get out of the elevator. I did. Mm-hmm. He had changed out of that outfit into his driving shirt.
Yeah.
Like a t-shirt, an old San Diego Padres t-shirt or something. And I'm like, you changed? He's like, yeah, I changed for the drive. Okay. That's odd, isn't it?
Took my shoes off.
That's weird.
Took my socks off.
Yeah.
Then took my car.
I can understand if you're doing like a plane ride.
Right.
I mean, you know, not like.
I don't want to drive with my shoes and my socks. It's not comfortable.
All right. All right. Coming up next, the award-winning Radio Tinder, and then we'll get to Steve Kerr accusing the Lakers of flopping.
Little after 5:30 p.m. in the Southland, Shinato and Cappy, a live imaging Tuesday on a Lakers celebration Tuesday. We like to play a TV theme for Radio Tinder, but this time we're going to do this. On this day in 1980, the original Friday the 13th was released in theaters. So that's the ones with Jason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha-cha. The plot line never made sense. Why not just get away from him?
Cha-cha-cha-cha.
Chris, who was the original killer in Friday the original Friday
the
13th? Do you know the answer, Chris?
I don't.
It was the mom.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Jason's mom.
Jason's mom.
Yeah.
Jason's mom's got it going on like Stacy's mom?
No, anyway. Bro. You didn't want to mess with Jason's mom. She was going to yoke you.
She was like... Mommy, with her eyes all bugging out
it
of her head
weird.
And stuff.
That was actually the scariest one of them all, and he wasn't
By
even
far.
The killer.
In the end, when she's in the boat, the girl's in the boat, and then he like comes out of the water and is like,
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie in 40 years.
Wait, that's what happened? It was the mom?
You didn't know that?
Are you serious?
You guys,
I mean,
spoilers.
I didn't know.
I was going to watch it tonight.
Yeah,
she
I'm sure.
She starts hearing voices.
I was
going
to watch Friday the 13th Never. Tonight.
No.
And I didn't know that was the
Just
mom.
Just make Rachel put on a Jason mask. Anyway, you could follow... She'll stab you.
Sounds hot.
You can follow her at Lindsay Baseball on Twitter or Instagram. Don't forget about our sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. I had a sip of the Añejo last night. Oh, so smooth. Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Did you hear the way he anglicized that?
Thanks, Christopher.
Which part? The Añejo?
Añejo. I'm having some Añejo.
That's not what I said. I said Añejo.
You said Añejo.
What do you want? Añejo.
Añejo.
Well, sorry, I didn't say Añejo.
Añejo. Not an N-A, an
N-A. This coming from the guy who calls Julio Urias.
Yeah. Cappy, by the way, someone on Twitter just sent me a message and says, hey, I understand what Cappy went through, meeting Rachel Nichols. I would be intimidated, too. I met Alex Curry last night. She's a young lady who works at Fox Sports.
Yeah.
And I was stuttering like I was testifying in front of Congress.
I know. That's why I don't talk to Malika Andrews. I can't talk to her.
Yeah. She was sitting next to me during the game.
By the way, I didn't realize
Lindsay and Greg were sitting behind me. Why didn't you come up and say hello?
No, you realized it. You just blew them off.
No, I swear to God, I didn't know.
In front of us. He couldn't have seen us.
They were behind us.
Yeah. I mean, he was
like multiple rows, so I didn't know.
He was like important NBA guy mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And because Greg goes, is that yours? Is that Sedano? And I was like, yeah, he's wearing a turtleneck. He changed into the turtleneck.
You changed into
I was wearing a jacket.
Well, it was like the way that it looked from behind, it was like, like one of the
It had a little like collar thing.
Looked like he was
and
riding
then Stephen
one of those
a
like.
Was wearing this incredible red suit in front of us in the row in front of us.
I didn't see Stephen A.
Oh, yeah. He was very disappointed in his New York team.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that,
yeah,
I want to talk about that. Okay.
Okay.
The Knicks' offense struggled in Game 3 against the Heat, and ESPN NBA analyst Jalen Rose thinks he knows why. After New York shot a woeful 34.1% from the field on Saturday and 20% from three-point range, Rose boldly attributed their struggles to a lack of acclimation to the Heat in Miami, and he was not talking about his on-court opponents.
We talk so much about the nightlife and joke about it in Miami, but also when you're the road team, you got to pay attention to that weather and that heat because it causes your muscles to have a little it affects the endurance of your muscles and causes tiredness. So if you notice, the Knicks in particular are making shots in the paint, but they're missing shots outside of the paint.
Is this one of the worst excuses for a team playing poorly ever? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
What's the actual question, the way you framed it? I just want to hear it.
Is this one of the worst excuses for a team playing poorly?
Yes, I would swipe right then, if that's the case. I just wanted to make sure which way I was swiping. If you talk to doctors, do they say the heat and humidity can increase inflammation? Okay, maybe, but they're indoors for 3 or 4 hours before the game even starts. Like, I just feel like this is kind of a strange, like, I don't know. He knows better than me. I just feel like this seems like a strange thing. Maybe I grew up there and it never affected me in a way where I felt like it was debilitating. I also have never played an NBA game, but this sounds weird. Like, I don't know. Maybe we should get a doctor on.
Getting your points up in the paint when you're playing street ball in Miami versus when you're playing out here in California?
How often do you play?
I don't really play anymore. So
And when you go back to Miami, how frequently do you play?
I don't play anymore at all.
Okay, so then I guess
playing when I was 40.
I guess then you're not really going to be able to answer this question.
Sedano used to be a big street baller though with the Trudell. They were on a team.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
No, Trudell plays in like some
Trudell
league, right?
He got like his lip busted. Where was it? He was playing with McMiniman somewhere, and he got like hurt. I don't remember what happened.
Well, you know how it feels to get your lip busted by McMiniman, Cappy.
McMiniman.
Tweet comes in and says the Knicks are missing their
shots.
You
are?
Because of tropical.
You're gutless is what you are. Absolutely gutless.
The Knicks are this is a tweet that rolls in. The Knicks are missing their shots because of Tropical Depression Spo.
That sounds about right.
Look, I don't know, Cappy. This seems cockamamie to me.
No,
but
not to me. I'm gonna swipe left, and here's why.
Okay.
Here's what Jalen Rose is saying. And I understand superstars when they try and communicate, and apparently I'm the only one that does.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
What he's saying is, when you go to Miami and you go out at night and you drink and party because you're enjoying the nightlife of Miami, which, by the way, guys, it's a business trip. Let's grow up here, okay? When you go out and party and drink and you dehydrate yourself and then you don't sleep as much and then you don't rehydrate and you got to play in an NBA game, all of those factors is what creates tiredness.
Actually, he prefaced it by saying, we're not talking about the partying and the nightlife.
Not only talking about that, we're talking about all of it. And that creates tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what Jalen Rose is saying.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Not a bad excuse.
Okay. All right, so Noah Syndergaard's season in L.A. has been pretty underwhelming so far. Not counting his start today, he's allowed 40 hits and 22 earned runs over his first 31 and a third innings. Good for a 6.32 ERA over six starts.
Can I call a 20-second timeout?
Sure.
I just decided to randomly Google this.
And?
Can heat and humidity make you tired?
I mean, the answer is yes, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course
I think it does, but again, the fact that you're playing inside.
No, but what is inside? It's a climate.
But what is the climate outside have
anything to do? Well, the climate indoors is different, but it can contribute to feelings of low energy and lethargy. But what I would say is if you're in, it affects you once you're outdoors. But once you're indoors, like NBA players are, for 3 straight hours before they even hit the floor, that's the thing I think people are taking exception with.
That's common sense.
Well, hey, listen, Jalen Rose is a daily listener to the Sedano and Cap Show. I know this because I ran into Jalen Rose out here in LA Live just a few weeks ago because we were talking about how I was going to get the same haircut that he has.
Did he come up to you and say, hey, I just see you everywhere?
No, he did not. He did not. I walked up to him and I was like, yo, Jalen, let's talk about that hairdo because I want to rock it myself.
Yeah.
And he told me he was a daily listener. And so I'm sure he's going to hear you and that you don't know. You know, he don't know.
All right, what's next, Lindsay? Sorry, right. Finish up the second one.
So as I was talking about Noah Syndergaard, he recently opened up about some of the mental blocks that he's trying to overcome, and he told the LA Times that in an attempt to clear that block, he has tried everything, including hypnosis. Would you ever consider undergoing hypnosis to overcome a mental block? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
Swipe right, 100%. Have done hypnosis.
Well, tell us all about it.
To get over a mental block.
Go ahead.
Did it work?
I think it did. When I was in college, I was probably like, 21 years old or so. I had like this terrible, terrible game. Got hurt. Should have told the coaches that I was hurt. Didn't want to give up my job. It just made things worse. And I just didn't know if I was going to be able to get over it. Like, seriously, like mentally, wow. I did not know if I, because we didn't have, there was nobody back then.
And sports psychologists
nothing.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah. So I had some dentist who was like this wannabe sports psychologist, and he like put me through like some sort of hypnosis stuff and visualization
stuff.
He didn't
give you the laughing gas or the funny gas?
I asked for it, of course.
Did he take pictures of you while you were asleep?
While I was out, yes, while I was out. But the thing is that it was on a manual camera back then, so he has to take it to a drugstore and have the pictures developed. He still got them somewhere.
Yeah.
You're on my phone, sleeping. Should I post this? Should I post this picture?
Yeah, post it in the circle of trust.
What do you think?
I'd prefer to see them ahead of time.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yes, hypnosis. Believe in it.
Okay, how about you,
George? Yeah, I would do it for sure. Swipe right. I mean, if I had a mental block on something to get over it, I'd do whatever it takes to get over it. So
like, what if they asked you to do the ESPN Daily podcast and you just were not, you weren't really like feeling it, or you were having a hard time delivering the lines, you'd try hypnosis?
Absolutely.
I wish my daughter would get hypnotized.
I'm George Sedona.
Right now, my daughter will not fly on an airplane.
She needs CBT, just like I need it with the driving. You don't need hypnotizing him could help, but a CBT could help too. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah.
By the way, she will not drive. She will not fly home from New Orleans.
Yeah, you told
me. She is driving from New Orleans.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. By the way, Radio Tinder is presented by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website at tequilamandala.com. Lindsay, I know you have one more. I wanted to get that in there real quick before I forget.
Cappy, could remake 1 Hour Photo, that movie.
Oh, that movie's creepy.
I was thinking
that exact thing when he talked about developing the pictures. That movie's super weird and creepy.
He probably had one of those, what did they used to call them? The developing room, whatever they would call them.
Yeah, the black room, is that what
it's called?
Yeah.
He probably had one of those in the 80s
what's
and 70s.
The name of this movie?
Black Room? 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams.
Yeah. 1 Hour Photo?
Yeah, he's like he's the guy who develops the pictures and he like keeps pictures of certain people.
That's so cappy. It's so cappy.
Is the
weird mom
the killer in the end? Because if not, I'll watch it tonight.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So this one, we can expound on this in the next segment if you guys want to. But yesterday, prior to tip-off of Game 4, I noticed an interesting report from Chris Haynes on TNT that had Twitter buzzing. Here is what he said.
Now, if the Lakers were able to win the whole thing, win the championship, I was told by a high-ranking source within the organization that they would extend a championship ring to all players who were on the roster at any point during this season. So that means if the Lakers win the whole thing, Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverly, and others will receive a championship ring.
All right, so let's say if the Lakers won the championship and you were Russ or Pat Bev, would you accept the ring? Swipe left or swipe right, George?
I would accept it. I'll swipe right. I would accept it, but I mean, it's not like I'd wear it. I would accept it because I was part of the team. If the team was willing to do that, then okay. If they're willing to offer, I will accept. But I don't know if I would wear it.
Yeah, how would you feel about that? Like, I got this ring.
Listen, you know what? I think that to steal a line from Giannis, right? Everything is a building block, right? Everything is, a goal, right? And you say, okay, this season was a failure for me on a number of levels, and this will be something I use to remember that to try to overcome said failure.
I like that answer that you'd use it as motivation.
Yeah.
Cappy, how about you?
First of all, the report. Who's the reporter?
That was Chris Haynes before the broadcast.
Lame.
The report.
Lame.
Not the reporter.
I don't know. I don't know Chris Haynes.
He said a high-ranking source.
Well, I will not allow you to call him lame.
Well, I'm just telling you.
As a person, especially if you don't know him.
I don't know. I'm not saying he's lame as a person. I'm saying the report is lame.
Okay.
It's like a high-ranking official told me that they're going to give rings to guys that aren't on the team. Gee, that's information I can't live without before this game.
But people were talking about it.
I mean, people were talking about it because,
What is your issue with a high-ranking official?
No break. Like, a high-ranking official had the time to tell me about the rings. It's super important.
I mean, okay.
I like Chris Haynes a lot, but I kind of go. I like Cappy's energy on this one. I like Cappy's energy.
You don't like, but everyone was talking about that story all week as Pat Bev talked about it.
Well, guess what? I thought there were more important things to be talking about before the game than Pat Beverly getting a ring from the Lakers. Hey, by the way, have the Lakers won the championship yet? Is this series over? Did I miss something?
Cappy's fired up on this. I find it shocking that he's fired up on this.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
Okay.
You're bringing the passion and you're bringing the energy.
It's about time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, welcome to the playoffs.
Hey.
You know?
This is playoff Cappy.
I was going to say, playoff Cappy finally arrived.
Let Slee have his playoff Slee.
Okay, all right, playoff Slee. Postseason Cappy?
Maybe.
Wait a minute.
Postseason is a baseball term.
Why does only Slee get to be playoff Slee?
Because it started during the bubble playoffs when they didn't have the 10 a.m. show. And we were asking them to fill in. We were creating the 10 a.m. show at the time. And Slee had never done 5 days a week. And he was doing post-game. And I think it might have been his first season doing post. And then coming back the next morning at 9 a.m., and we started branding him because of Playoff Rondo. I started calling him Playoff Slee, and it stuck. So it was like our first Slee-wa bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So we want the kid to have
it. They call everyone Playoff so-and-so. Playoff Jimmy, Playoff LeBron.
Playoff but Playoff Slee. Rondo was a big thing, as we know, back then.
Yeah, okay.
Playoff Slee. All right, we're way over the break again. So real quick, coming up next, we can expand on this. I'd love to hear more if you've got more, Cappy. Plus, Mark Spears is supposed to join us, right? All right, let's do this, Laura. Can I do this after Mark Spears so we can go right to break and get Mark Spears on since we're already 2 minutes late? Let's do that. Spears in 2 minutes.
It is a live imaging Tuesday on Shinato and Cap on 710 ESPN. And it's a Lakers celebration Tuesday thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. We going to break down the Lakers even more.
Since we're talking about rings, Laura's
exactly
got the music
right.
Bumping.
That's good. Shinato, take it away.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, Mark Spears, friend of the program, Anscape.com. And, of course, ESPN NBA Insider. Before we get to, like, the series, we were just having the conversation about Russell Westbrook and Pat Bev and the report that, you know, I mean, Pat put this out there first, that they would accept the Lakers' rings and that apparently now the Lakers have, you know, according to a report, offered up said rings for anybody who was on the team. How do you feel about Pat Bev and Russ if the Lakers win a championship? Getting rings.
It's a kiss of death. Y'all talking about that right now.
Damn right. You tell him, dude. You tell him. That's what I try to explain.
Hey, it's this.
Nobody listens to me.
About rigs right
yes.
now. Like, come on,
come
man.
On, man. For real.
That's Chris Haynes got you into that web,
see?
Lakers fans.
See,
I'm blaming Chris Haynes.
Me too. I told Sedano here it's lame. The whole report is lame.
I don't think the report is
Come
lame.
On, we're talking about rings
Pat,
now?
Pat Bev was talking about
so
it.
So what? What is he, a newsmaker? We need to talk about Pat Bev?
Yeah, we did. We talked about it, didn't we?
Yeah, but not last night. I don't know. Mark, what do you think, man?
Well, Chris Haynes is my boy, so I'm not going to call him lame, you know. But in terms of, I don't know, man. You know, when I got married, I had dated for a while before I brought the ring up, you know? I ain't talking about no ring until I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's going to happen. I don't know, man.
So you're saying just slow down.
That the Lakers have even had this conversation and that they decided that, yes, we will. To me, that's a kiss of death right there.
Yeah, they might as well start telling everybody publicly, we're already talking to the police department, and we're already talking to first responders about the parade that's going to happen on this date. Like, what are we doing
Chick
here?
Hearn, we're getting Chick Hearn ready. You know what I mean? Chick Hearn Street. Come on, man. It's too early.
All right, so is it too early to call?
It sounds like when Ja Morant said all he was worried about was the Celtics.
Right, he wasn't worried about the West. Right. Is it too early to call this a series?
You mean say it's...
Like to say it's a wrap.
And Warriors I was in Oklahoma City when they did it before, but it's hard, man. It's like, look, the way they've played to me doesn't suggest that they have a minute to do it.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, they're going to get disciplined. All of a sudden, they're going to make better decisions. All of a sudden, they're not going to mess with the refs. You know what I mean? And I think I saw a stat that I had used on SportsCenter today that I think LeBron is 17-0 and up 3-1.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's pretty substantial. I can't see a LeBron James-led team losing three straight to anybody. The way they're playing right now, the way he's squeezing this team, the way AD is, you know, playing, like before playoff started, I said that there was nothing about the Warriors that suggested that they could repeat as champs. And I really felt that way. I see them a lot. I live in the Bay Area, and it's what I'm seeing right now. It's just a lack of consistency, turnovers, bad chemistry, the rotation's messed up, no size. Like, all your warts don't heal once the playoffs, and I think the Lakers are, you know, the playoffs are about matchups, and with AD and with the Lakers' discipline and experience, you know, perhaps the Lakers are just a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you just said, all the different things that have gone wrong so far, the one thing that the Warriors are completely reliant on, or so it would seem, is are they knocking down threes or are they not? You know, and on a night like last night where Klay has 9 points and he's shooting up threes while Steve Kerr's throwing up his arms like, what are you doing? And you got nothing from Jordan Poole. I mean, if they could come out and hit a whole bunch of threes, they could probably win another game. But they're completely reliant on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Warriors probably should have won the game last night. And there were some mistakes they made that probably are biting them now, one of which, I actually like the starting lineup. I like going small. I think there was some fatigue that came with Anthony Davis with that. He kept getting put into so many screen, you know, pick and rolls that he had expended so much energy defensively that it caused him to, like, get limited to, like, 4 points in the second half. So I think that worked. But, you know, Gary Payton came out around 8:40 or so, I think, 8:30. And I thought he was a difference maker. He brought 15 points as well. He got layups, which is something that the Warriors aren't getting. And then they didn't bring him back in. Lonnie Walker gets hot. They don't bring him back in. I didn't understand that. And I think that they make this chess move, but then at the end of the game, you don't stick with it. And I think that ended up costing them.
Yeah, it was very odd. Mark Spears joining us here, Anscape, and of course, ESPN NBA Insider. By the way, you were right. It was 17-0. LeBron James, most postseason series wins without a loss when holding a 3-1 series lead. LeBron 17-0, Kareem 16-0, Magic 13-0 is the top three. You mentioned Lonnie Walker, and obviously he was the story of the night. Incredible kid. So worthwhile in regards to just his ability to stay in the moment and be ready. But the antithesis of that is someone you named, which I could not be more disappointed in from a Warriors perspective as an NBA fan, and that's Jordan Poole. And in his postgame, Lonnie Walker's the epitome of professionalism, right? Hasn't played in forever, goes out there, balls out, and just, you know, relishes the moment that he gets. Meanwhile, Jordan Poole, after the game, is being asked about his struggles, and he said, I'm not getting enough playing time. When this dude, after game one, has had more turnovers than shots made, I think. Like, this is, like, the lack of self-awareness to me is wild. Now, you're around those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to say I get Draymond, but maybe I kind of get what Draymond, the issue with Draymond earlier this season, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get to see people's true colors in the midst of adversity.
Yeah.
And so from a Warrior standpoint, when you see – I talked to Gary Payton, and when he says that Steve Kerr says, hey, we're going to start you, and he says, whatever you need me to do, coach, I'll do it. He said he didn't get excited about starting because he wants to do whatever coach wants him to do.
Yeah.
Moses Moody had a great playoff. Makes you wonder, why didn't they play Moses Moody earlier this season? Because it's been about Jordan Poole scoring and his new contract. And, you know, also, you know, he had the 15th most popular jersey. So maybe he's feeling himself a little bit. But being in the locker room post game and seeing everybody else dour about the loss, and then this dude's playing hip hop music on his phone, like, come on, bro. Like, it's like he was trying to get attention. He hadn't been talking all playoffs. Now all of a sudden, when he has a goose egg, he wants to talk. And I think the thing is, man, when it's the playoffs, it's not about you. It's about winning. It's about the matchup. You know, I know Kuminga is certainly frustrated about not playing. I understand that. But, you know, the problem with Jordan is there's been no accountability for his struggle.
Correct.
Right? You know, it's just like, well, I'm not getting the ball. I'm not getting touches. Why aren't you playing defense? Why aren't you rebounding? What about the turnovers? Like, the fact that it's like, you know, he's been awful, but there's no talk about being awful.
It's everyone else's fault except his. Right.
Yeah, they're treating me like Vinny the Microwave Johnson. You know, like, it's disappointing because I think he is an extremely talented player who's rising in popularity, but he certainly has fallen shy during the playoffs. And, you know, the great David Fredman, a front office guy, told me one time, you never get too high and you never get too low about how somebody plays in the postseason. And I think about that a lot and, you know, kind of try to use it. But I think in this situation, you ask the players afterwards, I wonder if they would rather rock with Moses than Jordan. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think it seems fairly obvious, Mark. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, I think that, you know, the Steph stuff, you heard the story about, you know, if you're going to get on this bus for game 7, like, you got to be on the same page, whether you play 0 minutes or no minutes, all that stuff. So, listen, it is what it is. We got to run, though. So, all I want is this. I want two words. Who wins this series and in how many games at this point?
Oh, I didn't hear the question.
Who wins this series? Two words. Who wins this series and in how many games?
I think the Lakers do it in 6.
All right, there he is. Mark Spears, check out his work at Anscaped.com. Follow him on Twitter, ESPN NBA Insider as well. Thank you, my brother. Always appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Take care.
Take care. There he is, Mark Spears with us here. Coming up next, Cappy, let's kind of get back into kind of the what went well for the Lakers and how they're kind of being dismissed already in Game 5. That's next.